This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, today I'm talking to Nadia Hussein from Hair Loving. Hair Loving produces hair products for all stages of life. They specialise in promoting hair growth and health from childhood to postpartum and menopause. So I've been working with Nadia for a while now, as you'll hear in this podcast episode. She is the second hair care company I've had on the podcast recently. And as I said then, I was really keen to share both episodes. If you haven't already, go back and listen to the episode with Laurie Quinnell from Leonora Haircare. I was really keen to talk to two ladies running businesses selling similar products, but with, as you'd expect, completely different businesses and completely different stories, because I just think that's a great way to illustrate that while of course there were similarities, there's also so many differences as well, and that's a good thing, because not everything, as we know, works for everyone. So I am really excited to introduce you all to Nadia. So hi Nadia, thank you so much for being here to talk to me today.
Hi Vicky, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So can we start with you please give an introduction to yourself, your business and your products?
Yep, so I'm Nadia and I have been a hair and makeup artist for the last 12-13 years now. I've also got a hair and makeup training academy where students come and join and learn how to do hair and makeup on others and have a career in hair and makeup artistry. And in as much as that, I've been to clients, and over the decade or so that I've been working with clients and students, I've had the same age-old question about people's hair woes, and that's where my journey of my business started, which is hair growth products.
Amazing. So can you talk to us a little bit about your products and what inspired you to create them, please?
Yeah, so my products are hair oils predominantly. I started off with the bestseller, which was the Hair Hydration and Growth Oil, which promotes hair growth. Later, I launched the product for postpartum hair loss for new mums post-pregnancy. And the third one was the hair oil to promote growth and reduce brittleness and thin ends on menopausal and perimenopausal women.
Amazing. Thank
you. So the inspiration behind this was my clients from my hair and makeup, my students, and obviously my friends and family and the school mums that I used to speak to about hair loss. Having done sort of 10 years or so of hair and makeup and hairstyling face-to-face, speaking to customers and clients about their hair woes, that really inspired me to try and help them in producing and developing a product that would promote hair growth and help them feel good about themselves.
That's amazing, and such a big undertaking as well, because I imagine that formulating products is not simple. Can we talk a little bit about that, Nadia? So you decided that there was a need and you wanted to create something to address that. So where did you go from there?
So from there, I formulated a product without knowing where I was heading, where I was going and how to formulate and develop. I literally sold 100 units to just customers, clients, friends and family, literally from the back of my car when I was on my rounds as a mobile hairstylist. Then I thought, well, we're onto something very natural here in terms of the ingredients. So I thought about to look out at anything that would need to be developed sort of legally or any paperwork that needed doing. And I went on to do a formulation course in hair care and skin care. And from there, I realized that a lot of my original formulation and the developed product itself was pretty much okay, with a few tweaks here and there with the essential oils. I then registered the product and registered the trademark as well. And here we are today with more products.
That's amazing. And for that first product, did you literally formulate it yourself?
Yeah, the first one I did that without much knowledge. And then moving forward, of course, I had to have that developed and formulated and passed by by credible authorities. And then the other two were also developed.
Oh, wow. But I think that's amazing because I mean, I think you're really underplaying this that you just formulated a product yourself. How did you even know sort of where to start and where do you source ingredients and things like
So,
that?
in order to start, I did my own research, and it took a number of months to do the research in itself. As with anything that you do, which is going to be going out and being used topically, even topically on people, you have a massive risk and a massive undertaking to be answerable to people in case something was to happen, if there were any adverse reactions. And all of this I learned through my own research and through doing my diplomas, so as to protect myself and my customers.
Wow, I still think that's amazing that you just went ahead and did that because, like, yeah, I do think that is huge,
Oh,
and
thank
it's
you.
amazing also that you went through all these diplomas because I guess that's a step you could have avoided. You know, you didn't have to do that, but I think it's great that you've got so much knowledge about your products and what's in them and what the benefits are. You're definitely really close to it all, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, moving forward, in order to produce and develop more products, I have that understanding already there, but I also know how to speak to developers and organizations that would be able to undertake such a huge task from now on for Hair Loving. So I think it's definitely helped a great deal to have gone through, the hard slog of going through the exams and literally, lab, having a home lab and understanding and learning different percentages and maths and weighing scales all over the place. So.
Yeah, though I think that's really good. And as you say, when you're developing new products and are your new products, are you getting people to develop those for you now?
Absolutely, 100%, yes.
Yeah, and so that, but and like you say, having that background means that you can have really informed conversations with them, I guess. And
Absolutely, because if you go at the beginning, I did go to a couple of events, and it was actually really funny where I didn't have the knowledge. So you get caught out when you don't understand what's going on. But having done my research, now I know what I'm looking for in terms of developing the brand further into new products. So fingers crossed, watch this space.
it's exciting. And did you so the first batch of products you made yourself, the first 100, is that right?
That's right,
Are
yeah.
you still making them yourself now,
No,
or have they been outsourced?
it's being outsourced now to labs and formulated outside of my kitchen lab. So it's exciting, but obviously I miss doing all of that formulating at home, which is perfectly legal actually. But yeah, I do miss that, but I do visit the lab and I do go and check on everybody and have a quick smell of what's going on in the formulas as well sometimes.
Oh, it's good you found somewhere where you're able to do that, where you're able to actually still go and see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can definitely see why you'd miss it, but I guess in terms of your time, there probably are better ways you could be spending it than actually doing the creation yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a business, even if there are only four or five products to offer on within that small business. There's tons of things, which obviously this is how me and you met in terms of the whole Amazon side of things. That's a very, very tiny percentage. And I think that sometimes we can work so super hard, and when people can then see that you're on Amazon or you're doing certain things on Facebook like ads, etc. it's almost like when somebody turns around and says, that's amazing you're on Amazon, or that's amazing that you're getting, I don't know, wholesale orders. That's when the penny drops and you realize actually your efforts daily are being recognized and people are taken aback. And that's when you feel the most appreciated and the most lifted. Of course, as much as, you know, making sales is absolutely number one. However, the appreciation side is absolutely amazing as well.
Yeah, and you're right as well that you can't do all of those things yourself, that everything that's involved in running a business. And I think it's really smart to outsource what you can when you can, you know, assuming that you can afford to outsource certain things, and not everyone can right at the beginning, but at various stages, I think it is good to start looking at, okay, what do I not need to be doing myself?
Yeah, because absolutely,
there's so much, isn't there? And you definitely can't be an expert in everything.
No, you can't. No way. You know, you've got to have a good work-life balance as well. You've got to remember, you know, you've got to raise children or whatever your background life is. You've got to keep remembering that, you know, we are here for a purpose, which is to enjoy those quiet times as well. Not, you know, when you start a new business in the first couple of years, it can become an obsession, an absolute obsession. And day in, day out, even last night, I was awake from 4:30 in the morning and my mind was ticking away with what I can do, what's been successful. Sometimes it's not healthy. However, on the flip side, you've got to recognize if there's an issue and you need to have that work-life balance, then, you know, you have to address that. And I'm trying to do that right now. So.
That's good, and I'm pleased that you're doing that. Before we move on and talk about a bit more about your business, I know that something that's really important to you is supply chain transparency. And so while we're on the subject of form, you know, we're talking a bit about formulating your products, can we talk a bit about like what that means to you and why it's important and how you've ensured that's in place?
So supply chain transparency is really important for me because I have come across through my research sources where the oils are produced, or the seeds for those oils, for example, are produced, and they are not actually from where they claim to be, for example. On the other hand, there's also projects that are in place. So my suppliers source the oils from where seeds are grown, or the oil is brought out, where farmers are paid a fair wage. So they have a fair trade in place, where, such as in Rwanda, where there's a lot of, especially women working in farmland, where they are widows, for example, and they are given a fair wage. And I think that is a great project and a great set of people to be funding or to be sourcing products and produce from, in order to help the greater world and the greater community. They've been struck by war, decades and decades of war, you know, war as well as famine because of droughts. And it's really important to help those people. And even on a political front, I'm not going to become very political here on this podcast, but there are places where there are oils, for example, the post-pregnancy oil, there is an ingredient within there where they do claim to have taken the oil from a particular place, which I don't agree with it being on the map at all. And many, many millions of people also don't agree, as same as me, basically. So I changed my source and supplier based on my personal views and how I feel about how people are treated and literally taken off those, thrown off those farms, their homes are destroyed, and a different stamp is put on the map. And I just don't agree, unfortunately, with some of those practices. So based on those views, I source very carefully, and the supply chain clarity and clearness is very important to me on all of those sort of fronts.
Thank you for that explanation. I think that's amazing. And I think it's great that you are, again, so across your products and just have so much knowledge about exactly what goes into them, where they're from. And I think that's really good as well for consumers, because it makes it such an ethical purchase, because you've done all of the hard work to make sure that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely a point which I do underplay, and which it's kind of mentioned on our website. However, we probably need to promote that more, so people take heed in what other products and suppliers or brands that they purchase from. I think it's very important for people to understand what they're buying, where they're buying from, how ethical it is. We consume so much from different countries and different places, and the more we do to sort of help the wider world and the little person out there who's you know, even from whatever you buy from a supermarket to eat, I think it's very important to know where your suppliers are coming from.
Definitely. And that's the reason I wanted to ask you about it, is it really stood out to me. But as you say, on your website, it's quite a small thing. You could definitely be shouting about this more, and that's why I wanted to ask you.
Thank you.
So let's go back a little bit, if that's okay. So once you realised that you had a need, you know, you were seeing a need for people who are having these issues with their hair, and you decided to develop the oil, and you mentioned that you sold the first 100 bottles. At what point did you realise, actually, this is a business? This isn't just something I'm doing on the side while I'm sort of going around doing people's hair. This could actually be a business in its own right. What point did you realise that? And then what came next?
So I think it was just literally a case of every other person that I spoke to about the hair oil, the original hair oil, which is our bestseller still, the hair growth and hydration oil. If every other person was buying it, that was when the penny literally dropped. I just produced this for friends, family and customers. I then went on, after selling those units, to I did a very small stall at my son's summer fair. And even there, there were so many people asking me questions about what's in it, will it, you know, people seemed very desperate. Literally, it sounds like a very strange word, but women especially seemed very desperate to buy the product and to make a change in their hair, to promote hair growth, reduce their children's dandruff, for example. So they were asking all sorts of questions. And this is something that I guess I realized the penny kind of dropped when I was talking to people face to face, obviously, because there wasn't even a website at that point. When people were asking all sorts of questions, and then I was questioning myself in terms of what's in it, what does it do, even further, that's when I thought there's definitely a massive demand in the market for this product.
And so that was at the point that Hair Loving became a business?
Absolutely, yes. And then I launched the website with a lot of help. There is a further story, actually. So this was literally already in set up before the first lockdown. And I was told not to actually launch the website and promote the products. I think the Instagram was all up and running almost as well. But I did go ahead after having spoken to somebody who had no idea about the product, but she said, we're going into lockdown and I'm going to focus on myself and I'm going to just look after my skin, look after my hair and forget everything else. This is going to be time for me. And I just thought, that's it. I'm going to launch this because this is what people are asking for right now. And it could be a make or break. And literally the first lockdown was absolutely amazing via Instagram for the sales.
Oh, that's amazing. And I was, when you said you got the advice not to launch, I was actually really surprised at that, because I mean, I guess, you know, this is 2 years later, so we've got the benefit of hindsight, but online sales just went up massively across so many different sectors. And I don't
think anybody was prepared, because the person that gave me that advice was almost a specialist, actually a small business specialist, and a non-official mentor of mine. I think it took everybody by surprise, this whole lockdown.
Yeah, and I guess at that point, I'm thinking 2 years back, we didn't really know what was going to happen, how long it was going to last. But yeah, we've definitely seen that online sales were just massive. And especially, I think, in a sector like health and beauty and hair care, because
Yeah, and
one of the things we
self-care.
could do was take care of ourselves. That's something there was very, there were very few things we could do. But I think when people were at home, that's one of the things that perhaps people were focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody was really going to go out. Then they were getting ready for, in fact, people were doing further courses and bettering their themselves and increasing their chances of when lockdown was going to sort of, we were going to break free from the lockdown. And in as much as that, not going out, of course they would look after themselves, doing treatments where you could leave them into the hair, and then wash 12 hours later, like my products.
Yeah, it's actually a great time for products like that. Because I've naturally, you can see I've naturally curly hair, and it was actually during the lockdown that I decided I was going to completely change my hair care routine and not use any products with chemicals, which does mean for the first couple of weeks your hair looks pretty bad, if I'm honest. But I was like, well, we're at home anyway, so
Yeah, absolutely.
who actually cares? It was a great time for doing, yeah. I can imagine that people have hair masks and face masks on because no one could see
Yeah,
what you were doing.
absolutely. And there was a whole TikTok and Instagram Reels trend where people were creating their own concoctions. So a lot of people were actually feeding back to me that they would mix the oil with yogurt when it was really hot. Because I think one of the, in fact, even the first lockdown, it was super hot.
It was.
So they'd mix the yogurt with the oil and put it on their hair. That would reduce or eliminate their sunstroke and headache. Mashing all sorts of products, it's like bananas from their and avocados that were going off from their fridge into the hair oil or vice versa, the oil into it, and using it as masks and doing TikTok videos.
That's amazing. So when lockdown started to lift and we could get out a bit more, did that change where you were selling your products? I mean, I know that you continue to do well on your website and Instagram, but at that point, did you start looking into wholesaling or hair salons?
Absolutely, absolutely. I actually did a mentoring course, a huge mentoring course, and that was literally specifically on retail business. So started off on online wholesale, reaching out online to wholesalers internationally. So sales do come through. For very interesting sort of boutiques, actually, massage places internationally, as well as salons internationally, gift boutiques as well. We've been in Phoenix over Christmas for a week. We're going into John Lewis twice from June. So John Lewis, Westfield, London, White City, and then John Lewis, Oxford Circus, Oxford Street. In again in June as well. So yeah, absolutely. But I think it's been important for Hair Loving to be able to spread our wings or put our fingers in different pies. So online as well as offline, as well as wholesale. So exhibitions, which are very, very private, small events where you'll have 100 to 500 people attending. Which have been amazing because then you can speak face to face with people and customers and potential customers and understand their hair problems, as well as wholesale and at stores such as Fennec and department stores. And hopefully John Lewis coming up in June as well.
That's all amazing. I have a few follow-up questions if that's okay. So the exhibitions you mentioned, are they for customers or the trade or both?
So they're B2C, so they're for customers. We are actually going into Salon International in October. Hopefully, there won't be any issues with this COVID scenario. And that's all ready to go as well. So, focusing more on wholesale at the end of the year because there's a lot of work to do at the moment
That's
with
exciting. Yes,
retailers.
And how did you get the slot in John Lewis? I think that's amazing.
So again, that was through some contacts that I had via my retail coaching that I've been I've sought, and yeah, Phoenix was okay. It wasn't great, I'm not going to lie. But you have to be very specific in what you reach out for. You've got to know your target market. Will they be shopping in those places? Is that the right shelf space? Is that the right location for a pop-up for you or not? Because that can be the make or break of you selling. Literally at any event, any exhibition, any outlet, that would be my advice. We've all had our fingers burnt. But yeah, you've got to eliminate as much damage as can be done moving forward from your experiences. And hopefully that's where we're at the moment with Hair Loving.
That's really interesting. And so when you get a space in Phoenix or John Lewis, how much say do you get on where you are on the shelf and what materials, display materials are out and that kind of thing? Do you get any input into that?
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes if you have a pop-up, you can control what it looks like. Whereas with John Lewis, they have their own merchandisers that come in, and they'll do it without you even being there. So when you go in, I believe, obviously I've not done it yet, but I believe when you go in, it's all done for you, but you have to have everything checked and passed through their management first. But shelf space wise, again, you have to negotiate everything.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so this is a pop-up in John Lewis, so you'll be in
This
there
is a
for.
pop-up, yeah.
Oh, amazing. And actually, this episode is going to go out in June. I know we're recording a bit ahead, so by the time this episode goes out, people should be able to go into it was John Lewis Westfield and John Lewis Oxford
So
Circus. Is that
that's
right?
right. So I believe it's the first week of June, which is Westfield, London, White City. And the 23rd, 7 days from the 23rd of June in Oxford Street, John Lewis. So you
Amazing.
see
So if
me
you're
there.
listening, yeah, if you're listening in real time, then definitely go and take a look.
That'd be amazing. I'd love to meet everybody and see if there's anything else that I can help with, if there's any other products that they would like to see in the hair loving line. That's something that I'd be really eager to speak to people about face to face, or even, drop me an email.
Amazing. And I know that you launched your as well as your individual products, you have your gift boxes as well. Did they come based on sort of input from feedback from customers?
So I think the best seller is still literally the individual oils, and it's actually the 100 mil. And the gift sets are really nice to have on display at events. Mother's Day, they do really well because there's like at the moment there's microfiber towel wrap with the hair oil, which is the large hair oil, the 100 mil, and also there are some with some silk scrunchies in there as well. So they do quite well, and they look very, very nice as well displayed and on the website. But again, there's more that is coming, and again, your feedback would be amazing as to know what you'd all like to see in our line.
Oh, that's amazing. And it's really good that you're able to take on that feedback. And I have to say, I think the gift boxes do look like they'd make a lovely gift.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they do make a brilliant gift. There's always events on. There's always, for Christmas we do really well with those gift boxes. They're like combos, so yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, we've been talking about where you're selling. So should we talk a little bit about Amazon? Because I know you haven't been on there long because obviously I helped you. Well, when this episode goes out, you'd have been on there a bit longer, but I know in the time of recording, it's probably under a month. So it's still very
So
new.
it's coming up to 4 weeks this Thursday, so in 2 days, 3 days'
Oh, there we
time.
go. Okay, so almost a month. That wasn't a bad guess. So let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about your experience on Amazon today and anything that you've learned that you think would be useful for other listeners who are thinking of giving it a go. Because I know it's very new, but that's actually great because you've just been through what is, in my opinion, the hardest bit, which is actually getting going.
So here's the thing. I am ashamed to say that the products have been on Amazon for a while. Nothing's moved because they've not but they've had to be tweaked, which is why I reached out to you, Vicky, to tweak everything and to make sure everything's on there properly. The wording is amazing now, and the feedback I get from the captions and the descriptions, that has to be spot on for any businesses out there that are looking to be on Amazon. Once you're ready with all of that and you are looking at your own descriptions and the captions and the descriptions from a customer's perspective and have it run past other people, then I would suggest that you move on to getting some help or doing some form of ads and running an ad campaign. At the moment, we are heading towards Prime, but not there yet. And I do feel like we're onto a bit of a winner. There's so much, though. There is so much to learn. And once you've understood a lot of it and read up a little bit about Amazon, then getting out there and finding the right person to help you is definitely key for somebody like me, because I tend to have to wear so many hats that, again, I can't manage Amazon as well as doing the descriptions, as well as running ad campaigns, and helping the dispatch team and informing them what needs to go out, because we're not on Prime yet. So what I would say is, advice from me is, do all your research and try and get some help in giving you at least advice on where you should go. I did leave it quite a while before I actually ran any ads and tweaked the images, etc., on my Amazon listings. But now that I'm sort of, you know, things are sort of going, we are getting a lot of sales through. You're just on that cusp of making profit right now. But again, it's literally been 4 weeks, but I'm really, really excited to be on it, and I would definitely recommend it.
I think it's a great opportunity, and thank you for sharing your insights. And I mean, I totally agree. And I think it's not uncommon for people to get themselves set up on Amazon and then realize at some point along the line, oh, actually, maybe it's a bit too much tweaking.
Yeah, definitely,
that it's a bit much. And then also that something I talk about quite a lot is that your Amazon product listings really need to be really, really good. And I'm not saying for a minute that yours weren't good, or for anyone listening, that your listings aren't good. It's more about, well, it's obviously they need to be really well written, but it's also, as we've discussed, a lot about the actual words included, what are people actually searching for. And then, as you found out as well, Nadia, you do have to do a bit of work to get people to those listings, because unfortunately it's just so hard to get found on Amazon now. And either you need to pay, as you're doing, or you need to do something else creative,
That's
email list or whatever, but it's really hard to get found organically now. And I do think that's something that not everyone realizes initially, because not everyone tells you that, which is why I like to tell people that, because
it's good to be clear, good to know where you've come from, because like I said, Hair Loving was on Amazon for such a long time but just not visible, and now that, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since everything's up and running, I know exactly where we're heading. I know exactly what we need to do with the Amazon account to be able to, hopefully, fingers crossed, increase the sales. But it is one step at a time for a small business like mine. Can't really run before you can walk, literally.
No, you absolutely can't. And I think, but the most important thing, which you have, and which I recommend to anyone listening who wants to get onto Amazon, is get the fundamentals in place, have a great listing, really good, well-researched text of all the keywords, really good images, and you're a lot of the way there if you've done that much. And it is a bit of work, but I'm here to help if anyone actually requires any help with that. And you definitely don't need to do it all alone, because it can be quite daunting.
Definitely. I think you have that. What is that syndrome? You know, when you just doubt yourself because something's not going right for you. For example, that was me on Amazon. But I would definitely recommend that if you can't do things yourself, and it does take a long time. I've even got friends that have been on Amazon, and they've literally, it's taken them time. They've been very down about not making the sales. Things have fluctuated and been up and down. And they are now in a really, really good place with their products. And they've expanded their product lines. And they're not necessarily people that produce their own products. They're people that would, resellers. They also do really, really well.
Yeah, I think there are lots of good opportunities. But as you said, it doesn't always happen overnight. For some, it does. I've definitely seen examples where people have, you know, got off to a start, you know, a really great start right from the beginning. But I would say for 90% of sellers, that isn't the case. And it takes a little bit of figuring out,
yeah,
what's going to work best for you. And it just, this isn't meant to be negative. It's just meant to be honest. And it isn't easy. So I think, sort of a bit of patience and persistence is definitely required. And I do think it pays off. And I think you're going to see it pays off. I'm certain by the time this episode actually airs, Nadia, you're going to be doing really well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, when you believe in something and you're persistent with it, I think that's when you start seeing the fruits.
Definitely. So I have one final question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And obviously you have shared so much advice and insight with us today, but what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators? What's one thing you'd like people to
say? Oh, my advice is don't give up, be consistent, just don't give up. It's all too easy to give up on your hopes and dreams when it comes to your products. If you're formulating themselves, if you are developing anything, and if you're putting a brand together, whatever it might be, you do have a lot of doubts, a lot of financial issues as well. But if you keep going and you keep doing your research, reading up on every aspect, networking as well, you will start to see success. You definitely will.
Thank you. I think that's great advice. And yeah, I think keeping going is actually quite underrated. Just
Definitely.
Sort of sticking at something and just keep working at it. I think it's all too easy, isn't it? I mean, we all get disheartened, but I definitely agree. There's so much to be said for just keeping on going. And if something doesn't work, then you can stop that or tweak it, try something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's all
thank
a
you.
Learning game.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for everything that you shared today. I will include links to your website and
your
social media accounts in the show notes. People can go and take a look. And yeah, thank you so much again.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for having me. It was lovely. It's always lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find links to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.